Scripture reading for this evening comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Certainly it's good to be back together again tonight. I don't know what it has been about today, but today has been a very encouraging day to me. I thought our services were encouraging this morning. We had visitors with us, and the weather was agreeable. That's always a good thing. We had wonderful attendance at the service this afternoon at Willowbrook, and it had been a few weeks since we had been able to meet together because we had COVID. And there were some people that were marooned, stuck in their rooms. And so it had been about 3 weeks since we had a normal service time out there. So, again, it's all been very encouraging to me, and I'm glad to be back with our home congregation tonight. I'd like to go back about a chapter from the scripture that we have read together. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 at a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I really appreciated that so many of our hymns tonight were about the Bible. We never really discussed what I was going to be preaching on this evening, but it fits into our study tonight very well. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the way we learned it in the King James translation. I believe now it probably says something more like give diligence, because this is basically an old English form of the word studious, that it takes effort for us to show ourselves approved unto God. And that in itself is a very important lesson. We were given this verse, and we learned this verse when I was growing up to emphasize the point that we needed to study the Bible. And really, that's what the verse is about. Be studious or be diligent to show yourself approved unto God in regard to what? In regard to our knowledge of God's Word. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Tonight, I'd like for us to look a little bit about the inspiration, authority, and of the Bible and what it means for our lives. You know, there's no reason for us to question or to doubt that the Bible, every word of it, is God's inspired revelation to man. There's no reason for us to question or to doubt what we must do to be saved, or how God expects us to live, or how He wants us to worship Him, or what is going to happen to us when this life is over, because all of these things have been revealed to us in God's Word. God has spoken. And God is not going to change what He has written, forget that He has written it, or make exception to it. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "Whoever rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." It's all right for us to examine the Bible. The Bible can withstand any examination that we give in regard to it. We can study its nature. We can look closely at all of the evidence that reinforces its claim to be the Word of God. But we really need to go beyond a study of the Bible, or study about the Bible, to study the Bible. As James wrote, it's not the hearer of the word, but the doer of the word who will be blessed. James chapter 1 and verse 25. The purpose of Bible study, in reality, is corrective surgery. The Bible is God's scalpel to open up the heart of men, to cut away the disease of sin and promote spiritual healing. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we read that, "For the word of God is living and powerful, stronger than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." If our Christian life does not include some serious study and thought and reflection on the Word of God, then we are deceiving ourselves if we believe that we have a relationship with God. Our relationship to God through His Word is the basis for winning His approval. But what is the object of this study of God's Word? The object is not just so that we can know the Bible. The object of studying the Bible is so that we can know God. God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And the object of our study of God's Word is so that we will be able to rightly divide it. You know, knowledge without understanding is of very little value. My first semester in college, we had a course in Western civilization. I don't know whether they have courses similar to this. Not that they don't study Western civilization, but the purpose of that course was to sort of thin out those who were college material and those who weren't. We had courses that were very difficult, and basically it was expected that those who were really not college material would not make it through that. Now today, every dollar of income is needed by colleges. I don't think they ever intentionally give anyone a course that to determine whether or not they are college material or not. We weren't required to know much in that course except the history of the entire Western world. You know, it wasn't really that complicated. You know, I'd had history courses before, and so I knew what to do. I memorized every name and every date and every treaty and every war in the book. I was a virtual walking encyclopedia of the history of the Western world. I was confident most of our final grade was going to be based upon the final test that we took. So I thought that I was certainly well prepared for that exam. But I was really shocked because the exam was essay. So instead of just filling in these little bits and pieces that I had memorized, there were questions like, what were the situations in the world that led to this or led to the other thing? Or what did we learn? What lessons did we learn from this event or that event? And I discovered that I knew a lot of historical facts, but I really did not know that much about history, nor did I understand it. Knowledge without understanding is really of little value. And knowledge without understanding explains the relationship that many people have to the Bible. There are people who can quote scriptures and facts from the Bible, yet they don't really grasp its message. I've tried to study with people who were totally enamored with the prophetic statements in Daniel and Revelation, and they wanted to get very deeply into things like that, and yet they didn't understand the basic message of the gospel. So knowledge without understanding is of little value. But in order for the Bible to be understood, it has to be properly divided. There are at least three reasons why every Christian needs to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. The first one being is that is the only way that we are able to receive and to understand God's message for our life. Secondly, it is the only way that we'll be able to lead others to salvation. I worked one summer with a young man who was in a Christian college, and he was I was to be his mentor. He was to be my assistant for the summer. And the first thing that he did was, and I admired his zeal, He went out and set up a couple of Bible studies, and he went to them 2-3 times a week. By the end of the summer, he had studied one of the Gospels, the book of Proverbs, the book of James, and he had gone pretty deeply into a study of the book of Revelation. But he had not, he did not convert any of his students. And the truth of the matter was, he just did not know how to put it all together. We need to be able to rightly divide the Word of God, because that's the only way that we can be secure in what we believe and guard ourselves against the false teaching that can cause us to lose our own soul. Remember, Jesus said that there are many false prophets who are gone into the world. And so because of that, that we need to examine the spirits, whether they be of God. We need to study that which is being taught to see whether or not it is the truth of God's Word. So many people think that whenever preachers read from the Bible and make references to the Bible, that guarantees that what they say is true. Unfortunately, it doesn't. Even Satan quoted Scripture in his efforts to tempt Jesus. And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 15, don't be surprised that his angels or his messengers, meaning Satan's angels or Satan's messengers, can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, why do they do this? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, Peter talks about the fact that there are those who twist the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, we are told there are those who handle the Word of God deceitfully. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Paul speaks of those who by trickery and cunning craftiness lie in wait to deceive. Now, why would anyone purposely misrepresent what God says in His Word? Well, there's one powerful motivation that Peter refers to in 2 Peter 2 and verse 3. He talks about those who make merchandise of the gospel in the King James Version, King James Translation. And because of their covetousness, they will exploit you. And so the Bible warns that there are those who will cater to men's spiritual longings and spiritual needs as a way to get rich. They make merchandise of the gospel. They use the gospel to address people's spiritual needs and desires, but they do so as a way to make money for themselves. You cannot preach the truth and exploit people. And yet certainly there are those who do. There are many other reasons that people twist the Scriptures. Some because of pride, wish to have their own following among men. There are some who twist the Scriptures because they resent the truth and choose not to believe it. And yes, there are false teachers who are teaching false doctrine sincerely because they themselves have been misled in their understanding of God's Word. That doesn't make error any less serious. Paul speaks of those who will believe a lie and be damned. And so religious error is such a serious matter. We look sometimes at religious error as being better than not having any faith. We believe that that a person who believes something and he's sincere about what he believes, that somehow or another that is a positive thing in the mind of God, and yet to hold on to something that is not true. The Apostle Paul was one who was very sincere about what he believed. He believed that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Christ. He didn't believe in Jesus, and he had a clear conscience in everything that he did, and yet he came to realize that because of his misunderstanding of who Jesus was, that he became the chiefest of all sinners. And so one can be genuine and sincere about what they believe, but a false religion, a false faith, will not save anyone. We must be able to rightly divide the scriptures because God places on our shoulders. It is my personal responsibility to know that what I believe and what I am being taught is the truth. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, John warned, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone into the world. And so what must we know to be able to rightly divide the Word of God? For the remainder of our lesson, I'd like to speak briefly on rightly dividing the Word of God and what we must understand, what we must know to rightly divide it. Four things that we must understand to rightly divide the Word of God. First of all, we must understand which dispensation, which covenant we are living under. If there is one place that we must begin in virtually every Bible study, it is the principle that many Christians are the least prepared to explain, and that is the relationship between the Old Testament and the New. The Bible is a big book. That fact alone discourages many people from ever beginning to study it. Can you imagine the confusion that would be involved if you just started out to read the Bible without any understanding of its makeup? For some odd reason, when people study the Bible, they think that they can open it anywhere and begin to read and understand it. I've talked to people who actually believe that that is the way that God speaks to them. They just randomly open the Bible, and wherever it opens, that is God's message for them that day. We would never study any other study in that way, but we seem to believe that. Some people seem to believe that when it comes to the Bible. If you read the Bible from front to back, you would not likely distinguish the proper divisions of the Bible from just a casual reading of it. And so the first point that must be realized in coming to an understanding of God's Word in our lives is that we today, in the Christian dispensation, which will last from now until the end of time, are under the new covenant, not the old. That doesn't mean that the Old Testament is not the Word of God, because it is. It doesn't mean that there are not important reasons for us to study it. But the Old Testament law, which was given first to the Jews, it was given only to the Jews, was in effect only until Jesus came and fulfilled it. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. And so everything that God has to say to us today about redemption through the Son of through Jesus Christ, what we must do to be saved, and how we should live as a Christian, how we should worship God as a Christian, is revealed to us in the New Testament, not the Old. We do not serve God by means of a mixture of the Old and the New, as Paul emphasized in the analogies that he gave in Galatians 3 and Romans chapter 7. Now, that does not mean that that the Old Testament is not important. I've heard people say that, well, that preacher doesn't believe in the Old Testament. That's ridiculous. The Scripture, the Bible, both Old and New, is the Word of God. The Old Testament served a very important role. In Galatians, the third chapter, Paul discusses the fact that it was a schoolmaster that led us to the Savior. Even today, as Paul clearly states in Romans 15 and verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, we learn much by a study of the Old Testament. It teaches us about God and man's relationship to Him. It was written to give us examples of faith and obedience, how God rewards it, and disobedience and sin, and how God punishes it, so that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we may have hope. There are many things in the New Testament that we can't fully understand without a knowledge of the Old Testament. While we'll benefit from a study of the Old Testament, we are not bound by it, nor are we to follow it. We cannot use the Old Testament as authority for the way we serve God as Christians. And so the first importance when we rightly divide the word of truth is that we understand the difference between the Old Covenant and the New. Secondly, to rightly divide the Word of God, we must understand the type of book that we are reading and the writing style. Now, we don't have any problem making that distinction with the other reading that we do. In the newspaper, we have hard news, we have feature stories, we have editorials, advice columns, and the funny paper. And we can generally tell the difference between them, except maybe during an election year, and then it gets a little difficult sometimes. But the truth of the matter is we understand the kind of writing that we are reading and how to interpret it. We don't read everything with the same intensity. A friend of mine, when I was in college, he was my roommate. One day he got three things. It was toward the end of our first year in college. One of them was he got a contract for a major purchase that he had made. Secondly, he got a letter of advice from his parents. And thirdly, he got a love letter from his girlfriend. Which one do you think he read first? Which one do you think he read more than once? Well, it's obvious we don't read everything the same way. The Bible consists of different books that are written for different purposes. There are laws to be followed. There are specifics in the way that God wants things to be done. There is history that is written to give us insight. There is devotional material that is written to encourage and inspire us. There is that which makes us look deep into our hearts and see ourselves the way that God sees us. Obviously, we need to know what purpose what we are reading, for what purpose it has been written, in order for us to read it with understanding. It's also important for us to recognize different kinds of language and figures of speech that are used in the Bible. There's a major difference between that which was intended by God to be taken literally and that which is to be taken figuratively. Symbolically. In this regard, there are extremes that lead to misunderstanding the Scripture. At one extreme, there are those who take everything in the Scripture to have symbolic meaning instead of literal meaning. There are those who try to eliminate the miracles that Jesus performed. Well, you can't believe that Jesus literally calmed the sea. But that is just symbolic of the fact that Jesus brings peace to our life. Now, I'm not saying that it's not true that Jesus brings peace to our life, but Jesus literally performed the miracle of calming the sea. There are those who think that everything in the Scripture should be taken literally. Some things written in the Bible are not intended to be taken literally. For example, parables and allegories are things of that nature. When do we know when something is written is to be taken literal and when it is to be figurative? Usually, it requires only common language skills and common sense. For example, when Jesus called Herod a fox, he was talking about his character. He wasn't literally meaning that Herod was an animal like a fox. And so there are things that we know are being used in such a way to be descriptive. When in Revelation, John speaks of 144,000 people in heaven reigning 1,000 years, there's so much symbolism in the book of Revelation. The number 144,000 is 12 times 12. It is a square of 12. And so it's considered a number that is complete, a number that is perfect. All who are in heaven are who will be described by that number in a symbolic way. Interestingly enough, in Revelation 20 and verse 4, those that John saw were martyrs who were virgins who had been beheaded. So you don't generally hear that in a sermon, that if you want to be a part of those who are in heaven, those who will be there are those who have been martyred, who were virgins who had been beheaded. And so there is, this is not to be taken literally, it's to be taken symbolically. A rule of thumb, what you read should be taken literally unless something about its context shows that it's not intended to be. Or if taking something literal makes the message of the verse contradict some other literal statements in the Bible. Now, you might ask, why does God use language that cannot be taken literally? Doesn't that just serve to confuse people seeking for the truth? Well, first of all, you'll really find that there's very little figurative language in the Bible, practically none of it that bases our salvation on a symbolic meaning of something. Secondly, the figurative language enables God to communicate things that are beyond expression in literal terms, in human language. When he talks about things like the new birth and the circumcision of the heart, when he talks about heaven being or hell being a place that is a lake of fire, heaven a place where it is the streets are paved with gold. Obviously, this is conveying to us a symbolic description of that which is spiritual, not physical. Thirdly, to rightly divide the Word of God, you must understand the context that you are reading from. You know, the Bible can be made to say anything if you take it out of its proper context. For example, I've heard sermons where Acts 16 verses 30 and 31 were quoted in such a way that that conveyed the idea that all one must do to be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And yet, when we look at that in its context, we find that the Philippian jailer was one who was a pagan. He didn't know anything about Jesus. And so when he was told to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they began at that place and they taught him. They preached to him about Jesus. And then after he came to understand who Jesus was and the purpose for which he came, they took him the same hour of the night and they baptized him. And so in order for him to be saved, he had to be obedient to the gospel, just like every other account of conversion that we read in the book of Acts. You know, many divisions that I have known about between Christians have been over supposedly doctrinal things in which there were things that truly had been taken out of context. And so we need to be careful that that we remain true to the text and the context in which anything in the Scripture is found. Finally, to rightly divide the Word of God, we must understand some basic principles about truth, about Bible study. I think there are some principles of truth that we should keep in mind when we are seeking to understand the Bible. Some of these briefly are, first of all, the truth, therefore the Bible, will not contradict itself. And so if there are two passages that appear to contradict themselves, then at least one of them must be an error, or one of them must be improperly translated, because truth will not contradict itself. Secondly, passages we don't understand should be interpreted in light of those that we do. Thirdly, to know the truth on any particular subject, we need to read all that the Bible has to say on that subject before drawing any conclusion. Fourthly, if you don't know the meaning of a word, look it up. Now, that seems to be pretty basic. Ideally, you know, we can't understand communication if we don't understand the meaning of the word. I was in a Bible class one time, and the individual who was teaching the class was talking about propitiation. And someone asked him what propitiation meant. And he said, well, you know, I don't exactly know, but it couldn't be all that important. And so what he was doing was he was just skipping over that which he didn't understand. Well, the Word of God is intended to be understood, and God has written it in such a way that it can be understood. And sometimes we need to do some extra study so that we know what it is that we are reading about. If it's possible, the best way to do is to study the meaning of words in their original language, and that will certainly broaden our understanding of any text. Fifthly, allow the Bible to interpret itself. There are many verses that have what we sometimes refer to as parallel passages, where the same truth may be stated in a slightly different way, which will give a more complete understanding. Sixthly, make distinctions between temporary, cultural, or custom of Bible time and universal eternal truths. Seventh, don't read the Bible to reinforce any preconceived ideas that you might have. When we do that, then we have limited our ability to learn. I heard Brother Charles Hodge say one time, and it has always been in the back of my mind as I have studied the Bible. He says, read every passage of Scripture as if it was the first time you were reading it. And the wisdom in that is that, you know, when as we are growing up, we accept a lot of things that we have been taught, and rightly so. And I would say that a majority of the things that I was taught about the Bible when I was growing up, I still believe today. But there were things that, as I continued to study, I came to have somewhat of a different idea. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone intentionally taught me wrong, or it may have been that there were just some shade of meaning there, but we always have to. We always need to study the Word of God with an open mind. There is the possibility that the more we study something, the more we will come to a clearer understanding of it. When we just continue to reread the same passages without thinking about them, that's when we are going to continue to come to the same conclusion, even though that conclusion may not be totally developed. And so we should read the Bible with an open mind and heart and be willing to be shown the way of truth as God speaks to us through His Word. So this is an important directive here. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Tonight, as we have been studying from the Word of God, it may be that in our study that we've come to a clear understanding of what our relationship to the Word of God is. Maybe there are things that God has asked of us that we have not made a direct application to our life. We need to continue to grow. We need to continue to study. We need to continue to come to a fuller understanding of what God's will is for our life. It is the most important thing in our life that we should come to know and be obedient to the will of God. Tonight it may be that there is one or more in our assembly that has been led to desire to have a better understanding of their relationship to God. We stand ready to receive you in the name of the Lord, and so we want to remind you that the Lord's invitation has been prepared, and we're going to stand at this time and sing a song that has been selected, and if there's anyone who has this desire to respond, we would encourage you to do that while together we stand and sing.